You just mentioned a film there, didn't you?
I did.
Tell us what you do for a living.
Well, I make TV and films. So and
so, what's the next big project coming out?
So we've just wrapped, and it's coming out on BT Sports on the 27th and 28th of December, and then we'll be on one of the broadcasts, major broadcasters, early in the next year. Mm. We're just having a little one, but it is called Stop the Tour. And it is about, it's a film about the sporting protests against South Africa, which were 50 years old. Mm-hmm. They started 50 years ago, led by Peter Hayne, now Lord Hayne, who was obviously a major part of Tony Blair's cabinet. And Peter was a South African exile. His whole family had been kicked out of the country, for, as one of the very few white families that... were anti-apartheid and protest, and they worked with Mandela a lot. And it became a worldwide movement, which stopped the South Africans from touring in rugby and cricket, had major, major impacts within South Africa and on the societies here in the UK and in Australia and New Zealand. It's a power... before I started doing it, I didn't know too much about it, and it's a very, very powerful story showing the power of sport. Yeah. And how crucial it was in bringing down apartheid. Because without this, it wouldn't have happened.
Why do you think this film hasn't been made before?
I think parts of it have. I think there was a documentary series about 10 years ago which featured this and other bits. But I think it was just the right time to do it, I think.
Well, you said yourself it's timing with the 50th anniversary. Yeah. Was it the rugby or the cricket tour in 1970?
So it was both. So they start. So basically, the whole thing came about. Peter moved over with his family. There was a thing called the Basil D'Oliveira affair, who was a very famous South African cricketer, ended up playing for England.
Because he was a non-white.
And he was a non-white, and he dominated an Ashes series or an Ashes test against Australia. Scoring 158 and then bowling key wickets and getting them out. And the next tour was against Australia. He should have been a shoo-in because it was a bit like KP sort of, KP sort of antics when he first started the England team. But he wasn't picked to go to South Africa because there was subsequently shown that there was a deal done between the South Africans and the British, or the English, the ECB. Not to take him. Then someone got injured, and because of all the furore about it, they put him in. And then the South African president banned the England team for coming, which normally would be enough to stop relations. But then a couple of months later, the English invited the South Africans over for a 1970 tour. And then at that point, the movement really kicked off. And it was... like the Brexit of the day. I mean, it was front page newspapers every single day. It was on bulletins all the time. It was the big talking point. Because for large amounts of UK society, you've got these sort of... You're in a time of mass protest anyway with Vietnam and obviously black rights in America.
Banned the bomb and everything.
But this was stopping something that people really liked. You know, this is the first sort of first real form of non-direct... Also, direct non-violent action. So you'd had the Mexico Olympics where you had the Black Power salute, the Amandla salute. Actually here what was happening was people were stopping games. They were running on the pitch. And it was pretty violent in certain places, especially in Wales, very, very violent. So it was dominating the news for a good year. And then eventually brought around the stopping of the 1970 cricket tour, but only very at the very close to it actually happening.
But the weird thing is as much as sort of like the vast majority of society now would be very much anti-apartheid, back in those days, society probably wasn't as fussed. I wouldn't say they were pro or anti. They probably just weren't as fussed.
I don't think people were aware.
And they weren't aware. I mean, even in the film, and I don't think this is a spoiler, you're talking to South African players in there who didn't... The society they've grown up in, and then they come over to England and see something completely different. I liken it to when, for instance, Motown stars came over to England, were called sir and were allowed in the same door as their white colleagues. There's kind of that sort of thing. And so, you know, the whole thing of and we can move further on to gay rights and workers' rights and civil rights and what have you, where the people who are protesting are considered extremists, whereas now you're looking and think, well, hang on, why did they have to protest in the first place? So it's very much a sort of historical documentary, isn't it?
Well, yes, but also, I mean, it in a sense, when you pitch it, you can sound potentially quite a bit dull, it's a bit rights and the rest of it. Actually, it's a very, very, very powerful human story, or lots of human stories, because not only are you highlighting a very detailed forensic racist state in South Africa, and I remember Mandela coming out as a child, and I remember the 95 World Cup, and if you've got the whole Invictus moment and all the rest of it. But I don't think people of my generation really know too much about it.
Sure.
I'm not sure people prior to it would know that much about it, because everything was so controlled in South Africa. There was no television until 1975.
Well, the South African rugby player that you talk to in the film, again, it's not a spoiler.
Tommy Bedford,
I mean, he was kind of just sort of blown away about sort of English society, which was completely at odds to what he grew up with.
Yeah, I mean, and look, it's... and it's, you know, a lot of people are caught up in this story. We've got four prime ministers in this film, and we could have done 3-4 parts on this, because there were so many different. You have the Commonwealth Games in 86. You kind of got. We don't even touch Thatcher's relationship with South Africa. It's a very, very detailed thing. It's but powerful as well. And it's about statecraft. Yeah. It's about message. It's about control. And it's also about the power of sport, which is really, really, really sort of poignant to today.
Now,
the sport was PR to the South Africans.
Absolutely.
So the Springboks coming over, the cricket, they were the best in the world at the time. Yep. They're the best in the world in rugby now. So when they came over, it was a big thing to have it, and it was very much a soft PR thing. And to stop it was vitally, vitally important.
Yeah.
And you think about what's happening now with various football clubs being owned by states and foreign actors and all the rest of it, and you start actually having to start examining what that means when you've got a club owned by an oligarch, when you've got a state owning a football club. What are they doing it for? And how does your perception... because they're now a good side, does that change your perception of the state? Does that allow you to allow them to get away with something a bit they shouldn't do?
Now Louis, the film opens with South Africa winning the Rugby World Cup this year with the black captain, which was a very, very poignant thing, and obviously something which helps in the film. Now,
yeah, we had to rewrite the whole thing. Yeah.
So, because I was going to say it was in pre-production, in production prior to that. So, I mean, how much does that actually help you?
Massively so, and I think it's made so Trevor McDonald's narrates the film.
Yeah, that's a major coup, isn't it?
Yeah, massive. So Trevor was delighted to do it. He obviously knew Peter and covered it as a BBC journalist, but he was also the first person to interview Mandela. He was in Soweto, and he was at the Invictus moment as a pitch side reporter for ITV. So very, very closely related to the story, and he was amazing to work with. So I'd literally we'd sent off the rough cut to him on the Friday and the script and everything, said, oh look, this might change, but I think I was very confident of an England victory. And then obviously it did change, and then it was so poignant, and I think it certainly helps the story, because it gives it real context. Now, that moment would not have happened without this struggle. That multiracial team would be an impossibility under apartheid, and be very clear, they were not nice, the apartheid government people. They would kill people, they brutalised people,
prison black people.
I mean, Siya Kolisi is from a township in Port Elizabeth. I mean, he was so eloquent, and I've met Kolisi in South Africa, and I think this is a mark of the man. We went to go and interview him at Stormers. Everything was arranged, and then the Springboks pulled it last minute, and he made an effort to come over to us and then try to plead with the Springboks, say, look, these guys are calm, we need to do it. And then we spent 20 minutes talking about football and this film and everything, what it means. And he was an absolutely delightful man, and a very, very good example of how to act as a sportsman, because I think those words that came out of his mouth, when he was with Brian Habana, and saying that, look, when I was growing up, I didn't dream about being a Rugby World Cup captain. I dreamt about my next meal. And and it wasn't done in a pleasing way. It was just reality and what it meant, and you could see what it meant to the whole country. And South Africa is a broken country still. There is, just because apartheid doesn't exist anymore doesn't mean that there's not problems there. There's a lot of problems there.
Well, the historical thing is not going to necessarily just go away overnight, is it?
No,
it's
you can't you can't scrub away apartheid. And look, I mean, we had a screening of this to press and the South African High Commission, and Mandela's family, and this High Commissioner is Oliver Tambo's daughter. And I was so surprised afterwards when they came out and said, look, this isn't taught in South Africa. These apartheid years, and this story isn't taught.
Oh, really?
And they're going to be taught in schools.
So it's
is going to be shown in South Africa?
This is going to be in the South African curriculum. So every child in South Africa will be watching this film and realising what it does. And I think the way they've done it is because it's not in a preachy way. They said, we can.
Well, Peter Hayden's telling his story, isn't he? The best he could do is he's done it from his perspective. He looks at it obviously from a certain, you know, sort of white privileged perspective, but one which he despised and his family despised. And like you say, were kind of kicked out, / encouraged to leave South Africa, you know, lest something out. Because they had a phrase, was it became a non-person, wasn't it?
Yeah, so his mother and father were banned
as
citizens, and which meant they couldn't even communicate with each other.
Yeah.
I was somewhere on Wednesday looking at another potential film, and I met two guys who had been Conservative mayors at various places and been part of the party, and they're a bit old, and they've got this incredible story, and we're hoping to do it. And they basically said, look, we hated Peter Hayne at the time, like it was this left-wing radical, but then when you look at this film you realise it's like, oh, there's nothing radical about him. You would do the same.
Well, that's what I mean about society shifting. What was then considered, you know, extremist is actually very much the centre ground now.
Absolutely,
in that sense.
Okay, so that's Stop the Tour. When's it on again?
So 27th is the post-watershed version, and then there's a slightly lighter one with less graphic. Yeah, no swearing, but obviously some of it can be disturbing.
Are you going to take this out into theatres?
I think a TV run would be good. We expect it to go out in Australia and New Zealand. It will be going out in South Africa. But BT, if you don't have BT, it'll be free on the website as well. So go and have a look.
Fantastic.
And it is well worth watching. It's such an important story to be told.
Superb. So then, congratulations, mate.
Cracking soundtrack as well, if you like any non-commercial music.